You guys are so great. We have one more storyteller, and then we have a couple more songs to close out the night. You've seen this young lady on the stage already this evening. She also works for Cards Against Humanity. She is an integral part of this show and of Chicago podcasting, Claire Friedman.
Hi, guys. Guess what? I have a type story for once in my entire life. Okay. I've spent the past few years trying valiantly to not suck. I had this aspirational model of myself, and I was thinking, like, hey, I'm doing an all right job of this. Like, I'm just about there. And then 2015 just looked me in the eye, and it was like, but what if your aspirational self sucks? So that's the kind of critical meta thinking that I'm fucking terrible at. It's a reevaluation of what is good after the parameter of good has already been defined. It is arguing between Southwest and American Airlines and United and first class versus economy, and then it's a kid going, what the fuck is metal doing in the sky? If there is one personality trait I am seethingly, seepingly jealous of, it is having clarity of thought. Constructing airtight reasoning on the fly has never been my strength and has caused me to lose almost every argument I've ever been in. There's three people I'm very close to who are amazing at this. My older brother, Ben, my boyfriend, Brad, and my mom. This year, my convictions and my sense of self were really shaken. Is a generous narcissist a good person or a bad one? How much can your friend's suicidal tendencies dictate your schedule? Would I rather have an uncomfortable confrontation or a panic attack in a bathroom? My grandma died a few weeks ago. Listen to the previous episode of this show to hear how great and sassy she was. My brother and I were there with her the day before she died. And we found an essay that my mom had written in 1977, her freshman year of college, folded up into a photo album. She was a freshman in college at St. Ambrose, a small local Catholic school that she went to before transferring to Iowa State to get her bachelor's in biology. The whole essay is very, everything old is new again, and I felt it really resonated with a lot of things that have been happening both culturally and in my personal life. And so I wanted to take most of the time to actually just read part of that essay. And it was for, the top of the essay said, Phil Theo 101.3, which I assume is not two dudes and is like philosophic theology or something like that. Philosophy of theology. Okay, so this was her summary of the article that she was analyzing. Bishop Mark J. Hurley of Santa Rosa, California, said in Rome that the greatest threat to the church's values today is not Marxism, but the possibilities of human manipulation offered by scientific developments. He spoke after attending a session of the Vatican Secretariat for Nonbelievers. Note from Claire, this has now been changed. It does still happen, though, but it's been changed to the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. The topic of the session was youth and unbelief. Bishop Hurley says that because of the nature of the possibility of genetic engineering, we are dealing with great changes to what it means to be a human being. Other points made during the meeting concern the wave of young people to flock to the church in times of political unrest, the wave of young people turning toward new mysticism, and a statement concerning separation of church from politics. Bishop Hurley concluded by saying Marxism presents a false picture of man, and our worries should be directed at science. Analysis. The main topic of Bishop Hurley's announcement deals with the moral implications and questions raised by genetic engineering. Genetic engineering would involve specific manipulation of the chromosomal structure of gene cells to produce desired traits in offspring. This is a theology class. Although this biological engineering has not reached humans in an advanced state, the research and experiments now being performed seem to indicate that human manipulation is not far off. We must anticipate the moral implications of these developments. This is from my mother. I agree with Bishop Hurley's statement that the promise of human manipulation is bringing about great changes in human nature. But I would also add that as research in this field continues, human nature, note she crossed out will, may change so much as to be unrecognizable to those who have lived in this age. Conceivably, few parents would take the chance on producing a dumb, ugly child when they could select an intelligent, handsome child of whichever sex they prefer. Note from Claire, okay, Mom, we get it. You're writing the pitch for Gattaca. Yet this concept of choosing only the best and seeing anything less than their definition of the best as inferior and unworthy of life conflicts radically with our modern-day ideals of loving, caring for, and wanting all types of people. I would go so far as to say that the genetic engineering concept of this type resembles Hitler's campaign to create a perfect race, and in doing so, eliminate all Jews and quote-unquote inferior races. Hitler made his own decision on what would be the perfect race, and was horribly wrong. Although these potential scientific developments may alter people's moral values, I don't think research should be stopped. To do so would hold mankind stagnant, just when we seem to be on the brink of making new discoveries about life. If, somehow, research was banned in the area of genetic engineering, it would not do away with the problems it raised. A ban would be, in effect, turning our heads away from a difficult situation. It would leave so many questions unanswered, moral and scientific, that a shadow would fall over a major area of knowledge and ignorance would grow. I'm reminded of a phrase often used by people who are afraid to fly in an airplane. If God meant for man to fly, he would have given us wings. I always want to answer, but he did give us wings, indirectly. He gave us desire, curiosity, and knowledge so that we could develop our own wings. I think that same reasoning could be applied here. As long as man is capable of acquiring knowledge, he should continue to do so. The two lines in that that resonated with me were, this is Claire again, I'm no longer my mother. The two lines that really resonated with me were, a ban would be, in effect, turning our heads away from a difficult situation. And as long as man is capable of acquiring knowledge, he should continue to do so. Two of the struggles I really had this year were facing hard questions about the way I was living my life, the habits I was forming, the things that I was doing over and over without really re-examining them, and not confronting it. Talk to my therapist about that one. Three nights ago, a friend of mine from high school called me to talk about a boy who had hurt her heart. Excuse me, a dickhole who didn't appreciate what a beautiful goddess she is. It was my one night off that week, you know, which I set aside because, like, you know, self-care, peace and love. I didn't want to talk to anybody, but that said, I still picked up the phone. And I stayed the night at my friend's house after he got out of the psych ward. And I got dinner with my brother just so he could complain about work. And I didn't do any of those things because I'm a good person. I did those things because I am a shithead. None of those things are hard, and I didn't want to do any of them. And realizing I didn't want to do any of them, I said to myself, fuck you, Claire. Your friends deserve better than that. You're being a shitty, shitty person. Because who the fuck am I to think that I get to be afraid when I get on an airplane? Do you know how few people get to die in an airplane crash? Like eight. It's my ego that is justifying not getting on that plane and going and doing things. It is my ego that is justifying all these fears that I have and justifying it by saying, oh, I'm anxious and I'm afraid of everything. No, I'm not. I'm just being an asshole. Not talking to someone at a party because you're anxious is one thing. Not talking to someone at a party because you think you're better than everybody else is not. Okay. The only thing that matters is what actions you take and how much compassion you can show to others and how much you can say that plane is up in the sky and I can form my own opinion about that plane and I can appreciate it and know it for its good and its bad and its wrong and its right. And your parents don't get to define that for you, even if they do have impeccable logic and perfect cursive handwriting. That was so fucking legible. But even so, we have so much knowledge at our fingertips at this point, and to turn away from it does not only a disservice to ourselves, but the people around us. And that's what I learned this year.
Thanks, Claire. Oh, man. Ending the night on a heavy note, but we do have more music.